Welcome to the Corporate Venturing Insider Series, where I interview top practitioners in the CVC world and learn with you the best practices and golden nuggets that they have accumulated over their career. In this episode, we will be learning from Archana, head of South and Southeast Asia for the Gates Foundation Strategic Investment Fund. Archana, could you take a few minutes to share your story and how you got to where you are today?
Thanks for having me, Nicola. My career has been non-linear. I'm a bit of an accidental investor, never set out to be one. Started my career as a chartered accountant back in India in management consulting. Loved solving different problems for very different industries. Everything from business transformation to internal audits to fraud investigation, which was really exciting. So loved that fast-paced world. Realized that I really cared about social impact. And so it was, in my mind, it felt like a very natural pivot to take all those business scrappy skills and come towards social impact. So that's what brought me towards the Gates Foundation 10 years ago now in 2013. Again, I've held a few different roles through the last decade, chief of staff, strategy, some policy advocacy. And since 2017, again, as a scrappy consulting project, I was helping the foundation figure out how do we invest more in South Asia and Africa? We already had very established investments in the US and Europe through our life sciences biotech work, but needed to understand the investing ecosystems in Asia and Africa and how we can play a unique role. Started off doing that, and that's when the team asked me to join them in London. So I've been in lovely London since 2017, built up our South Asia investments presence, and now that has also expanded into a focus in Africa as well.
Very nice. I can feel you're very mission-driven, and we'll get to that. But you mentioned accounting, which, of course, investments, numbers matter. How much of that is helping you today or creating a bias towards number? Because when we talk about mission and numbers, there's an overlap, which is quite important.
I'm also an accidental accountant. I never ended to be one. I always wanted to be a lawyer. And actually, I now spend most of my time surrounded by corporate lawyers reading investment documents. But I think the muscle of understanding financial statements, understanding what good financial control looks like, what good audit committee processes look like, has been super helpful. That's been great. But at the heart of it, you know, at the Gates Foundation Strategic Investment Fund is an impact-first venture investment arm. And so financial return is not the primary purpose of our investment. That said, of course, we want companies and innovations we invest in to be sustainable and to live long beyond us and attract external commercial capital. So financial sustainability and success is super important. But when we make any investment, we kind of balance that with what's the key purpose we're investing in, and that is a specific impact we want to create. That's the lens that we bring in to structuring any investment.
And of course, it's a big lens because you look at billions of people, not millions.
Yes, I think I went to Stanford for a year to business school, and folks always talk about the 0-1 innovation in Silicon Valley, which is true and just great. I do think the 1 to a billion is very much something that innovators in Asia and Africa have mastered. That's not easy, because if you look at the US, it's 300 million people, which is two states of India. Just two states of India are 300 million people. And so, yes, when you're thinking about innovation and scale, hitting a 1 million customer base is small. And as the Gates Foundation, of course, we're a $2.5 billion corporate venture fund. And so when we make investments, even at smaller check sizes, we do have big ambitions for the impact it can create. And so we do often think of a few millions and then tens of millions as the order of impact that we want to create. And so that's very much front and center, but balanced with being sustainable and being reasonable and understanding the innovation journey and ups and downs that it's going to have.
And there will be ups and downs. I want to maybe ask you a question about, so there are many people in the audience who are in corporate VCs, and some of them are what they call very strategic first. So it's strategic mission. And on the financial, I think it's how you describe it, which is financial sustainability. Don't lose money. You're not there to make money, but don't lose money. Is that how you would compare with impact first and financial sustainability, or is there a twist?
There is a twist. So I would say yes and no. In terms of being strategic, that's very much how we work. So just like classic corporate ventures have business teams that are technical teams they work with. Similarly, at the Gates Foundation, we have multiple program teams. So we have, let's say, teams within healthcare, very specifically focused on infectious diseases, or teams focused on maternal neonatal child health, or teams focused on diagnostics. And so they are experts who've been in those fields for decades. That's very similar to corporate venture. I think on the financial element, all of our co-investments, all of my co-investments have been with commercial investors. So I will say we do as rigorous, if not more, sometimes much more rigorous financial diligence than I've seen other investors do, because not because of a certain profitability metric, but because we want to really figure out what are the risks and potential of this really sustaining to create impact. Only if it sustains can it create impact. And so that's the lens we're taking. So it's not so much a lens of don't lose money ever, because you cannot have success without failure. I think anyone who's been in venture capital and anyone who's investing early stage, 9 out of 10 things will likely fail. But if you're taking some of those risks, that is classic equity risk. And we have other tools in our kitty as well beyond straight up equity, because maybe without us, nobody else will take this risk. Maybe without us, nobody else will think about creating this product for low-income people that we care about. And it's worth testing this out and testing if it sticks. So there are times we would, it's not a lens of do not fail, but it's know when you're likely to fail and know what you're going to learn from that to improve the next one.
I think there's a subtitle to what you're saying, which is you're also going to look at projects that would not get started unless you come in. And then once they start to do well, then you expect others to come in for investments.
Very much. I think attracting external capital and external commercial capital is very much a rubric that we look for. So oftentimes we have come into companies where we're Series A investors. Sometimes those companies have received grant funding from the foundation initially because they are very early stage, small ideas, pre-product market fit. And then once they've a bit graduated from that, we've come in as Series A investors.
Yeah. And again, when we talked about billions of people, it has to be highly scalable. It cannot be just a small project that never scales. And if it does scale, then it comes with some financial value. So one thing you also said, which I really like, is you work with many teams inside the Gates Foundation. They bring expertise built over decades. Could you maybe we zoom out a bit? Can you talk about, of course, the asset under management, but how many people, what type of teams? And then zoom in, which is about how do you engage with them and bring this superpower to your entrepreneurs?
Yeah, great question. I think the foundation is, I don't know the exact number now, but I think upwards of 1,400, something like that. The strategic investment fund team is a very small team. We're about 15 people, 1-5.
1% of the Gates Foundation.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, I think innovation pipeline for us is a bit inbound, and is what comes to us, what seeks us and what we seek. It depends on different teams and what we're looking for. One hat is where we're very much a VC investor. We're out there much like any other VC, understanding what's happening in the innovation ecosystem, talking to other investors, talking to entrepreneurs all the time, understanding what they're building, where they're struggling, what they're trying to solve for. And so that's very much one trajectory. The other trajectory is internally just keeping in very close contact with a lot of our technical experts on how are you building strategy? Is it a policy tool? Is it a, do you need a private sector innovation tool? Is there a market gap? What is that gap? This is the innovation theme that we're seeing in the ecosystem. And then we kind of trade notes.
I think it's great to have such a tool set that you can provide to the entrepreneurs. Can you, because some entrepreneurs will watch this interview, and especially if they want to know more about what you're doing. So how do you think about when to provide grant, when to make an investment in equity, when to help with debt, just so that they have a sense of how you're thinking?
Yeah, great question. And we get this a lot. I think one lens with which to think about it is just the innovation spectrum. So if it's very early stage, almost R&D, like innovation in a lab with a product and service, that's typically when it's better for us to use grant funding or seed. Grant is our version of seed funding in that case, because it's yet to be proved there's not yet a product market fit. When it comes out of that, when it comes into, okay, there may be product market fit, or we're actually developing this product in biotech, or we're starting to commercialize this and we want to scale this to customers and have them access it in the market, that's when typically around the Series A plus stages, that's when we'd come in with kind of an equity investment. That said, we are not a classic follow-on investor. We are a mission-focused charitable purpose investor. And like I said, we do have very specific charitable commitments that will come alongside every investment. And so that is something that we seek. And so we're not, I think every time we're investing, we do have that lens on what are the commitments that we're working with the company on that's different from what we've done before.
Actually, let me ask a question, because then that's interesting. Most VCs, when it's an oversubscribed round, they fight for it. But in your case, if it's an oversubscribed round, your job is done. This is a successful project. You can allocate the money to someone else. Am I understanding right?
That's exactly right. If we're investors in a company and the next round is oversubscribed, we're the happiest people in the room. So we feel that's great. That's really our job is done, where the company is able to attract external capital. And of course, then our focus is on how do we make sure there's not mission drift? How do we make sure everyone's on the same page on this long-term strategy, impact still remains core. That's where we're focused.
Very nice. Now, I want to go back to your journey, because here I think you were very humble. You didn't even mention you're on the board of companies. Do you mind sharing when you decide to be on the board or not, and what's the contribution you bring to the board?
Yeah, I think the foundation is a little bit unique in that sense vis-a-vis a classic VC. Because of foundation philanthropy regulations, we don't take board director seats. So we take board observer seats.
Now, of course, I want to ask a question, because if I remember right, it's a $2.5 billion AUM. You mentioned it's a team of 15, which seems so lean compared to the size of the fund. And you mentioned check size of 5 to 50 million. That's a lot of work for a small team. So how do you manage?
I will say some of my other colleagues actually do a heavier lift than I do. Our work in structured financing volume guarantees is really complex. It's super impactful, but also very complex. We have different folks focused on different thematic areas. I, of course, am the head of South Asia for the fund. And so look at South and Southeast Asia, all sectors within that. So health tech, fintech, agri-tech, women's innovation within that. And so we also divide and conquer a little bit based on geographies or thematic areas that we're interested in. But yes, I think it's a lean team, a great team, and one that just believes in getting the work done.
Wow. Okay. Maybe, so the first investment committee you have, who are they? What do they bring to the discussion?
Yeah, great questions. Our investment committee has internal members. It has our CFO, our legal counsel, CFOs of different divisions in the foundation. And so they are folks who understand the work of the foundation, but also the sectors that we're kind of frequently investing in. We also have external members, and these are members who are investors themselves or have been operators themselves, and so have a ton of experience in some of these areas. So we have a couple of life sciences experts. We have, you know, a few experts in international investments in Asia and Africa. One of the other ways that we also ensure there is collaboration and skin in the game is that most times our equity investments will be part funded by the technical teams. So for instance, if we are making a $10 million, you know, Series B investment in a company, and we do an assessment based on some internal criteria on what the risk level of this is, maybe that's outsized to what another typical commercial investor may take. We make an assessment of that risk, and then our program or technical team will provide that part of the funding. So if we assess a 25% risk, the technical team, the business team, will put in the 2.5 million and we put in the rest from, but it's a 10 million investment in the company.
I think this is genius. This is not the same, but same concept as a GP commit, which is you want people who wants to go through an investment to have skin in the game. They are saying, yes, I do believe.
That's right.
Wow. Now, I want to change gears on a very important topic, which is Southeast Asia. And this is really what you're looking at. Can you share why Southeast Asia and why it has so much potential for impact?
Yeah, I mean, so South and Southeast Asia is a core focus for us. Where obviously the foundation as a philanthropy is focused on the world's populations that are most in need. And by virtue of income levels, South Asia and Sub-Saharan Africa top that list. So most of where we want to deliver products and innovations and help actually move the needle on last mile impact is in South Asia and Sub-Saharan Africa, even if the innovations are sometimes coming from other countries, like in life sciences, for instance. Other geographies like Bangladesh, Pakistan, Indonesia are also a focus, but not as in-depth as in India. But we do have multiple kind of thematic focus areas in each of these geographies. Again, with Sri Lanka, Nepal in South Asia, there's some focus, but again, not as deeply embedded as we do in India. But again, thematic focus area. India, of course, is a shining example with amazing digital public infrastructure and amazing talent pools. I believe there are a lot of entrepreneurs coming from the country who've lived these problems that they're trying to solve for are really the gems in innovation. And you can see the amazing kind of ground up first principles innovation from India that's emerging.
So I think, at TDK Ventures, we really believe in the potential for India and surrounding countries. We launched our TDK Ventures Innovation Hub in Bangalore, where we welcome any investors to come and work from our innovation hub. So you're welcome next time you're in Bangalore to come and visit. And what's interesting, or what was a good learning for me, was in the past you had talent coming back to India, but now you have amazing talent staying in India, being entrepreneurs, building solutions. Now let's change gear, although there's a nice overlap, which is all this women's initiative. Can you share a bit more? Because I know you are very involved, but I think it's worth for the audience to know about all of them.
Yeah, I think as a foundation, of course, we focus on women's health innovations. We also focus a lot on gender equity is one of the core divisions of the foundation. We have a focus on women's economic empowerment. Within that, there are really interesting kind of fintech innovations focused on women that are helping unlock access to credit for women, for instance. So we have a couple of investments there in India in that lens as well, where companies are using alternative data to create interesting credit scores for women who are outside the formal credit ecosystem. But really by doing that, helping them to gain formal credit and helping other MFIs or other lenders be able to lend to these women for their income generation and for their nano businesses. We're also seeing more health innovations focus on tracking women users and women customers. Again, even with kind of large digital health platforms or e-pharmacy platforms, they don't intuitively track women customers. When we ask to say, what percentage of your customer base is female? Most companies have to go back and check. But now we've built that into our investment metrics as well. That's a formal reporting that we do in our investment committee. We've built gender equity metrics into our diligence and IC reporting process, and we track that formally as part of the commitments.
I want to lead from innovations to technology. So can you share about what technology you are investing in? What are you excited about?
Yeah, I think there's, of course, two big areas of buzz right now, especially in geographies like India, but I think even in broader Southeast Asia and Africa. One is space tech and the other is AI. Of course, there's a climate underpinning to these. I think both those are really interesting. I'm interested to see the more use cases pan out. Of course, one is on space tech is, yes, you could put up interesting payloads in space, but what do you do with that satellite imagery and analytics? So using geospatial analytics to really solve interesting problems in agriculture, in financial services for agriculture and other domains. There are some interesting use cases emerging. That's one that we're curious to see where that goes and maybe support innovations in that domain. The other is AI. I think this one is still a little bit, I think I'm trying to navigate all the buzz and the noise in AI. But I think really looking at what are some truly transformational use cases in AI where you can really, I think, change the way people access services, where you can help people upskill themselves. For someone sitting in, I think, a village in India who looks at YouTube videos on her phone, like how can you help her through an AI application, help her to kind of set up a small business, apply to a loan, hire a small team? And so I think these are some of the innovations that I think, and the use cases that we'd be super excited to see. And I think keeping an eye out for that and seeing what's coming up there.
And back to Southeast Asia, there are so many different languages. Just using AI to be able to do live translations between people would already be a breakthrough. So many use cases, right?
Absolutely. And there are teams working on that.
All right. So let's watch out for space and AI, which are two topics we're also looking at, but more for later. There's something which I really liked also. You mentioned about your reporting to IC. So you don't just go to the IC to ask for money. You actually bring back reporting about, I'm sure, the value you bring over time. Can you share about the best practice you're using, which maybe the audience should think about when they report back to their IC?
Yeah, I'm sure most funds have a similar process, but I think some things that I'll note are we're very transparent about successes and failures. And so we twice a year we'll report on our portfolio, just taking zooming out and saying this is where the portfolio is at. These are some of the key developments across our portfolio. This is where these companies have struggled. What are the themes that we're seeing from the markets in South Asia, in Africa, in Europe, in US, and what are we learning from that? So we'll do a sectoral stock taking and a portfolio stock taking and read out and have very honest conversations on what does this mean for, should we change something in our investment strategy? Should we change something in how we support companies? Should we have more flexibility in some other areas? And so we have that conversation. And then we also talk through areas like we had identified a few years ago that we don't actually track gender metrics, and then we formalize that in our investment process. But we'll also keep an eye out for some kind of untapped or overlooked areas that we should do a better job on and talk through that with our IC.
Very nice. And how often do you report to the IC? Is there like a cadence?
We meet with our IC monthly, where we're taking different concepts or investments to them. And even if there's not an immediate concept, we'll give them a readout on our portfolio, on specific things in our portfolio. So generally, there's a monthly cadence to our IC meetings, and also then a half-year zoom out, bigger picture portfolio view.
Very nice. Now, I want to move to, in a way, back to the superpower. Can you share maybe some examples of support to entrepreneurs you provide, which is very special to you?
Yeah, I think maybe without taking names of companies, one of the fintech companies I've been involved in from a kind of Series A stage, the first institutional investor stage, really helped them think through what their approach to their tech strategy should look like. Also early on in that investment, help them understand the underwriting risk and help matchmake that so that we're not constantly on the capital raising treadmill, but helping to actually build a platform where we help warehouse innovation and then help the ecosystem come in. So I've helped shape some of that thinking that's now become core to the business. Now 45% of business volumes are there. So that's one example of working closely with the fintech. So another one is with another fintech saying, hey, this is great what we have, but what are some other different data sets that we can use to boost up what our credit scores could look like? Mm-hmm. How can you think about this works well for, let's say, one business segment, but how can we also do this for an agriculture business segment? Can we also do this for a dairy farmer business segment? And so really helping to think through what those different use cases could be. Helping them think through at what point do you enter Africa or not and navigating that. And then saying, hey, the ultimate goal would be, yes, you could have amazing credit scores for women. Can we actually bring down cost of credit for them?
There's many golden nuggets, but what I think comes across the full interview is when you engage with these entrepreneurs, you position yourself like a thought partner. You're there with them and you want to think how to build a business together.
Absolutely. And we're very much in this for the long term. And so understand there'll be hiccups along the way, but very much want to be the thought partner to the companies, but without kind of over-engineering and letting them drive things.
Very nice. Now, I want to ask about portfolio building. Clearly, you have many investments, you have a portfolio. How do you think about building your portfolio? How do you think about it? Yes.
Yeah, I think as a strategic impact first investor, where we oftentimes will make investments almost in, we will make multiple bets. We will have multiple shots on goal. So sometimes our investees may be competitors. From where we sit, that's completely okay because we are trying to move impact in the ecosystem forward. And so we will bet on technologies or innovations that are taking a slightly different approach or a different business model lens, but getting to the same problem statement. what we love to see and what we're starting to see now in countries like India are portfolio synergies. So we're seeing multiple portfolio companies now starting to work together, where one has data insight analytics and the other has a lending platform. And how can you match make the two to lend sharper with sharper data to a segment that you did not know how to underwrite before?
Oh, very nice. Now I want to ask you about what are you excited about the future? Because clearly the world can be looked as very dim, but your foundation is doing amazing work to make the world better. What are you excited about the future?
Yeah, I'm excited about, I think, a few different things. So less with specific sectors. Even there, I think I'm excited to do more in the health tech innovation domain. We've, you know, in South Asia made some investments, but I think there's more that we can help move the needle on. And there is really interesting innovation, and it's a hard space. So would love to do more there. Women's innovation, I'm super passionate about. Just, again, women's innovation is not a specific sector. It's how you do any other innovation. And just bringing in that lens to anything in agri-tech, fintech, health tech, I think that's really super exciting to me. And more consciously, it's just I'm more intuitively just taking that lens in every investment that we make. And those conversations are really interesting. AI, tech for impact generally is close to my heart, but AI for impact, I think, will be a really interesting domain. Again, a lot of investments in AI, but is it truly AI for impact and for impact at the last mile for those who most need it, I think is a lens that we bring in and where I know I can add a lot more value. So that's one I'm really excited about. And really building scalable for the billion homegrown innovation from these countries for these countries in South Asia and Southeast Asia is really what I'm excited about.
Well, Archana, it was an amazing interview. I think you shared a lot about, of course, the Gates Foundation, the fund, but also your own journey and many golden nuggets along the way. So thank you so much.
Thank you. You've been a great host. It was great talking to you.